Okay, so I think we left off with the end of Sif Gimel. There's a Shavur quoted from the Chai Adam that if you tie a double knot by accident, which is a very common thing to happen, then you're allowed to untie it, and it's considered to be temporary. So the kasha we just asked was, oh, but isn't it my 2 months? So even if it's temporary, it's aser. So in the Chai Adam, it sounds like, yeah, it is a chashash ma'isa umat, so it's only what's about tsar, like the Ramah said. But all the modern day poskim say, based on the Shavura, the modern day poskim such as Shmir Shabbos Golchasa and the Rosh Shabbos, etc., they say based on the Shavura that it's always mutter to untie an accidental double knot. Why? What happened to the Shash Maisa Uman of Sif Aleph? So the only answer I've seen is the Chazan Ishus says that Shash Maisa Uman was a Chumra B'Alma. It wasn't a real Shash, it was just a Midag L'Hachmir. And that Midag L'Hachmir we didn't apply if you tied it by accident. Okay. Maybe you could say it's even less Umas if it happens by accident. But that's not such a strong svara. But lemaisa, we are mekel lemaisa halacha lemaisa. We're mekel if you tie it not by accident. You can untie it even if it's not physically painful. Now I think we're up to dalet.
Sif dalet.
Yeah.
So you said that if it happened by accident, that's not called maisa umus. Is that because?
No. What we said is if it happened by accident, it's not called shel kayama. How could it be kayama if you didn't mean to do it? The kash was, isn't still umnas. So there's two answers. Either it's only motzer makom tzar, because makom tzar we make on the chashash umnas, or like the Chazon Ish, the chashash umnas is only a minute of chumra v'yalma, and we're not machber by accident, it's only by on purpose. So it's just a chumra, you don't have to be consistent. Did that answer your question? Okay, then I didn't understand your question. The chisor answered me. Okay, Koshin Dalit. So now the rest is pretty quick, just brings all different examples from the Gemara, Mishnah, and Gemara, and Eluk Sharim of different knots. So the principle should be fairly straightforward. Dalit, Koshin Dalibim Shicha Oba Avnika Yoshibo. You can tie a bucket if you need to get well from the water from the well, and you have a bucket, and the bucket's not on a string, you can tie so it's like a special string or belt or like a very useful kli that's a string onto it. Why? Because obviously it's not shalkayama. If it's a belt or a mashikah or some very useful string that you need for another purpose, obviously you're going to untie it right away as soon as you finish drawing water. So that's not shalkayama, it's mutter. Again, the assumption is, the way we paskin, you tie it in a way that's hedyot. Avalo bechevel, but you can't use a regular rope. Why can't you use a regular rope? Because a regular rope, the normal derech is people leave it for a long time. There's a whole deal in the Gemara, and there's 2 days in Tosfos that we paskin about what about the chevel gargi, the weaver's rope. It's a rope like a regular rope, but on the other hand, it's a very special use that the weaver has for it that I don't fully understand, let's assume that we do, that the weaver has some need for it, so obviously he's going to untie it right away. So there's 2 days in the Gemara and 2 days in the Rishonim, whether make a gzeirach, clearly chevel gardi is temporary. Question, make a gzeirach, chevel gardi, up to a regular chevel or not? And the Radaig of Lashon and Mechaber, which is the Rambam here, like the Rishonim, hold that yes, we gozer on chevel gardi, up to chevel di alma, so something that doesn't look like a regular rope, like an avneg or a meshicha is mutter, there's no gzeirach, it doesn't look like a normal rope that you have around the house in your workroom, but a chevel gardi, even though it's a special rope, since it looks very similar to a normal rope, where it goes there, not to use a chevel gardi, so you don't use a regular chevel, which would be permanent. He ends, v'hani mili bedloim akvum b'bor. This is talking about a bucket that stays in the well. That's where there's a chash that you'll leave it permanently. But our buckets, who's our buckets? We don't have buckets from wells. But in the time of the Rishonim, what they used to do is they had a bucket they used in the house. And they only brought it to the well when they needed to draw water and then brought it home again. They didn't leave it by the well. And therefore, it's obvious that you're going to untie it because you need to use it for other uses in your house without a string. And therefore, since it's obvious that whenever you tie it onto a string, you untie it right away, it's mutter to tie any kind of rope to a bucket in the time of the Rishonim because it's obviously not shel kayam. Hey, aniva mutter. Okay, here we finally get to what I rashly promised Zev I would deal with last time. is the question of what's a knot in the first place? Right? What counts as tying a knot in the first place? So we learned There are two kinds of knots. There's Uma knots and Hedyo knots. And we learned there's different lengths of time that knots are intended for. There's Kayama, there's Nachal Kayama, there's in between. But what's a knot in the first place? And what's not a knot? Right? It's only us who to tie a knot. So, says Shon Aruch, as we know, this is Machlokes Tanan in all over Masechta Shabbos, really. Aniva mutter d'lav kesher, who a bow is mutter because a bow is not a knot. Okay, so hold that thought for a second. A bow is not, what he means by this is that you don't have to get into kayama or nachshal kayama. A bow is automatically mutter because you're not doing a maisa kosher in the first place. You're just doing a stam, innocent, non-39 malacha action. You're just blowing your nose. You're just breathing. So it's mutter. What's the definition of a bow is a little unclear. Anyway, if you look through the Beis Yosef at the Rishonim, who tried to explain in great detail, it became less clear. But the assumption of the modern day Mefarshim is that the difference between a knot and a bow is that in a bow is like a slip knot. You pull one side, it all comes out. A knot, you have to untie it for it to come out. So that's the assumption of what we mean by a bow. A bow is something that if you just pull it, it comes out. Knot, that never works. So a bow, that's not called a kesher. A kesher is something which, if you pull either end, it stays. Obviously, if you pull from the middle, you can undo a kesher. That's what the malach of matir is. But a kesher means you could pull both ends and it'll still be tied. If you pull one end or either end and it disappears, that's an aniva, and an aniva is not called a kesher. Yes, he says, look, until you pull it, it holds. Okay? That's what it seems from the modern day Mefarshim. I fully admit that.
You don't think that's a little more correct to say Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's a katas?
No, I don't. I would. So that's an aniva. Now adds the Rambam. Beseder, fine. Says the Mishnah Brura in Chavtes. Yeah, at the end of Chavtes.
So you're saying halachic definition of aniva is what we call a bow.
Yeah. And this is not just, you notice in the Gemaras, it's not just a question of Halachas Shabbos. It's clearly a question of what's considered tied and what's not considered tied. There are many other inyanim in Kol Torah Kula which depend on being tied. Yeah, etc. So an aniva is not a kesher. Kesher can be all different kinds of tzuras of kesher. There are Boy Scouts will tell you 100 different ways to make a kesher. But an aniva is not a kesher in Kol Torah Kula, including Shabbos. It's just not the malach of kosher. The Mishnah Berurah as at the end, even if you double the bow at the end of, not the main body, but the end of Sivkat and Chavtes, it's still considered a bow. A double bow is still a bow. Now, again, you have to know what he means. It means the double bow that still slips out, that's still a bow. If you try it, you'll see a normal double bow like you imagine. It still slips out right away as soon as you pull on one end. That is still a bow.
How does this drive with everything we learned on Sunday?
Hold on. But we also make a knot. So let's see. Says the Rambam. We have to get to the Rambam. About filum osa kesher echelamata knowing the boheter. We're knowing to be matter even a knot and a bow. A knot and a bow is what we do in our shoes. Right? The standard way you do shoes, first make a knot, then a bow.
Where's the knot?
Okay, does anyone want to volunteer a shoe?
Where's the knot? Where's the bow? You don't do any of either of them.
Okay.
So we're talking about a single
knot. Or string. Who wrote string? Who thought to bring string?
Change your definition.
Okay.
No, so a single knot is still considered a knot. You know
that. Hold all these thoughts.
I tie my shoe like this.
Just change your definition.
But I can pull it. How? It's still one-handed.
No, you can't. Okay. Tie your shoe. Well, hold on, let's see. Now pull it out one-handed. Okay, you pulled out the bow, there's still a knot. Right?
That's called a knot. That's less than, you're making the bottom one more than the top one.
Okay.
That's not a knot. That's nothing.
Okay, this is all machlokas achronim. Although, that's not going to satisfy.
It's not a machlokas achronim. It doesn't fit into what you just said.
Okay.
Do you need this
though? Yeah. So, you could make, theoretically...
You're used to it.
You could theoretically make... Just a bow on this. Right? This is just a bow. It's gone. right? So you could make a double bow. I hope I'm doing this right. That Mr. Burr says a double bow is still a bow. This is a double bow. So standard way we tie shoes is you first make a single knot.
Stop. That's a knot.
That is what the Rishonim. Hold on. I'm not passing a halacha now. I'm just using words for now. Okay. I just want to be clear on our terms. I'll tell you soon whether it's a halachic kesher or not. But I just want to be clear what I mean. This is a knot. This is a knot with a bow. Right. The knot with a bow. Right. You pull. The bow disappears, and there's just one weak, tiny knot left. Right? We all know what a double knot is. I'm not going to make a double knot because then it'll be a little bit of a pain to untie. Okay, I still think it's an umar as a chumrah, but I'm not going to make a double knot now just to avoid wasting time. So, now says the Rambam. Now you have to figure out what the Rambam means by this. So, first, so we got to figure out what is considered. I'm not done.
I thought you were.
Sorry. But you're used to being without shoes. Don't be so, impatient here. Here is what is not a kesher. let's do better. What does this say? Havana for. Oh no, that's not from Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, great. Is a kesher head yoked? Is a chash at least of kesher uman? So what do we know? A double knot is a chash kesher uman. So we just saw that it could be we passed that it's only a chumr v'alma minag, but it's still the maisa chash of kesher uman, right? What did we just say? A bow is not a kesher. Even a double bow is not a kesher. What about a single knot? What about a single knot? Like, oh, we still have here, right? This single knot, on the one hand, Zevul admit, it's not a bow. It's different than a bow.
It's nothing.
But it's very flimsy.
It's nothing. How can you call that more than a bow? It doesn't make any sense. Nobody does anything. It has no mashmaut whatsoever. Nobody does anything. It's a maseh srak.
Okay. So let us see if Zev is correct.
But you need, it does make a difference.
It's not 100% clear.
If you tie a bow without a knot, it's not going
to work. Okay, hold that thought in a moment. Hold that thought. Okay, so it's a little unclear. If you look in the Rishonim, they compare single knots and double knots. They say, oh, well, single knots, not so miskayim. What do they mean by that? Do they just mean, well, you don't have to worry about a kesher shel kayama? Or do they mean, it's not a kesher, it's klum? So it's not 1,000,000% clear in the Mishnah Berurah exactly what the status of a single knot is. Is it just a knot that usually ends up being mutter because it's not because it's eno shel kayama and it's head yoked, or is it mufka from a kesher bichlal? Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Rav here says, I don't know if I have it on the sheet in Sif Gimel, Sif Katan Gimel. I mean, Shulchan Aruch Rav says a single knot is not a kesher bichlal. A single knot is klum. I can't swear in the stackness of her toe that everyone agrees with them, but that's how he understood them. Showing a single knot is klum. That's not even a kesher at all. That's not a kesher head yoke. A single knot is nothing. And therefore, in a single knot, you can even make it for a year if you want. Now, that's a very rare case, because what single knot will last a year anyway? But theoretically, that's like the modern day poskim quote. For example, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Tesvav Halacha Nun Dalid. So, it says the Shulchan Aruch, one second, Harav, and the Shmir Shabbos Kochos, the Aruch Shabbos says the same thing. A single knot is nothing. It's ice kesher. That's not even called kesher.
Excuse me, but coming back to the same point, but you're skipping.
Do you think that from the text of the Gemara we can possibly say that what you call the bow and what you call now kesher, Hello, Aniva is lower than one kesher. It's not higher than one kesher.
The whole chat of the Shulchan Aruch Rav that Aniva is equal to one kesher.
Before the.
Okay.
An Aniva in the Shas is less than one kesher. So how can you say, what you gave the example on the shoe, that that
okay, so the answer is the Gemara never said the word one kesher anywhere. The Gemara never said one kesher, never said two kesher.
It doesn't have to say, but the Gemara doesn't ever say that there's clearly any kesher that's less than an aniva. There's no such thing in the Gemara as a kesher being less than an aniva. It contradicts everything in Shas.
And Achanami. There's no such thing.
But according to what you said, there is.
No, I said it's not a kesher.
No, what you gave the example.
I just said it's not a kesher. Isn't that what I just said? Meaning, of course, there's no kesher that's less than an aniva, but a single lamb is not a kesher less than an aniva. That's a nothing. Now, theoretically, could you have held differently? Maybe that's not what the poskim saying. We're not going to analyze it now. And the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not even the machlokas of aniva. That's klum. That doesn't hold at all.
That's not even what the Rambam means.
What?
The
Rambam never says the word single lamb. He never discusses just the single lat.
No, but that's not even a kesher, then
it's not halachic kesher, it's the word kesher. That's why it's tricky.
Clearly, the Rambam confuses us like that, meaning maybe there are mummies and an eve on top of a real kesher.
Okay. No, because that doesn't bother me. So, the. Interesting. There are parallel discussions to this. But I think I saw some places you could say, even if this is all true, that could be different. Okay, so now let's get to the Rambam. Says the Rambam, even if you make a single knot, I know what the words mean. The words kesher ephanim means a single knot in a bow like most people do in their shoes. Raise your hand if every day you do a single knot and a single bow in your shoes. Okay, my hand is down.
Which definition is this?
I do a double coin.
This.
You're going according to the Shulchan Aruch or not?
Yeah.
So you're just using the word.
Exactly. The word, this is what I'm saying. The word kesher in the Ramah here means a single lat. That's not debatable. When the Ramah says the word kesher in Sahih means a single lat. The question is what the halachic status of a single lat is. The Shulchan Aruch says the word kesher means a single lat, but that's not the kind of lat the Chazal meant in the Gemara. And that Hashem meant in the 39 Malachos. Okay, most of us do a single line in a bowl. What does the Rambam say? The minig is the hakel, meaning it's controversial, but we pass the hakel even on a single line in a bowl.
I don't even think in English that's called a single line.
Sure it is, of course it is.
It's not a line.
Well, I would. What?
I'm
me and Avi. Okay, if I have Avi on my side, I'll take on the world. That's my general clout. On my own, I won't, but if I have Avi on my side, he's one of the people. If I have my side, I'm willing to take on the whole world. Okay, so
meaning,
give up.
Meaning, what's a double knot? A double knot is... No.
Yes.
A double knot is...
When a person says like this, then I do the exact same thing again.
No, when a person says they tie their shoes in a double knot, the mashmos is the two bows.
No.
They don't call it a triple knot. They don't call it a triple knot. They call it a double knot.
Hold on a second. We're getting unnecessarily lost here because we've begun to argue about how people use
semantics.
English words, which is not semantics, which is not relevant to the halacha. So let me just put the ground rules on the board. Whoever doesn't like the ground rules. I can't finish that sentence on Wadi Torah. But what I mean, okay. I can't even put this on the board because it's not expressing anything in words. Everyone knows what I mean now. What I mean by a single knot is you go like this. What I mean by a double knot is you go like this again, and that's a fairly effective kind of knot.
It's called a grain.
Okay, in Hebrew, grain means something else. That's the bayah. Okay, what I mean by a knot in the bows, you just do the crisscross once and then the loops. What I mean by a knot, and you do the loops and do the loops again, I'm going to call that a knot and a double bow. Okay, that's how I'm using the words. It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, right? Because that's how I'm using the words. When I put on the board, that's how I'm using the words. It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. So aniva is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch.
This is what
we call aniva in the Shulchan Aruch. This is what the Mishabura means by double aniva. A slip knot is also an aniva. A slip knot and the bow in your shoes are the same thing. Just slightly, topographically the same thing.
That double bow is without the knot under it.
Correct. A single knot is what I mean. You just go like this once, and that's maybe klum. What Shulchan Aruch Rav says, it's klum. I don't know if everyone agrees, but that's what he says. A double knot is you do what I call the double knot. The everyone agrees, the Ramah here is talking about the standard way people tie their shoes. They go like this once, and then they go like this. That is obviously stronger than either just doing the single knot or just doing a bow, because it's two things together. Question is, what's the status of that? So the Ramah says the noeg, we're noeg lahaftir. What does he mean by noeg lahaftir? So the Gra says, the Gra never says, we think he says. Va'afilu says the Gra, the kesher echad lav klum. Kesher, one kesher is not klum. We're not sure what he means, but he sounds like what he's saying is, look, this is an anifa. The anifa doesn't count. There's no anifa. Just this one kesher, that's lav klum. That's nothing. So the Gra sounds like he's saying the Ramah means the way you tie your shoes is nothing. Single knot plus bow lidas hagra. Meaning it's nothing. Why? Because the two parts of it are nothing, so together they're nothing. You discount the aniva, you're left with nothing. That might be what the Gra means. That's the way some of the Echonim understand what the Gra says, but it doesn't matter whether that's what the Gra means or not. It's always hard to tell what the Gra means. That's not what all the Echonim say. All the Echonim say, you have to read the Ramah a little Shalob Diktuk. And that Niva is not a Kesher at all. And if you make a Kesher Lamata, we're still knowing Heter, that even though it is a Kesher at all, we're still knowing Heter. That's what the Mishtabur and all the Echonim say. What does that mean? What they mean is that a single knot plus a bow, lefi Magen Avraham, Taz, Mishnah Brura, modern day poskim, meaning everyone, right? A single knot and a bow something else belongs to this category, is a kesher hedyot. Meaning that we're knowing heter, now we're knowing heter that it's not a kesher at all. We're knowing heter that that is a kesher that doesn't have a chashash ma'isa of kesher uman. And therefore, you're for sure allowed to make a single knot in a bow, temporarily. Right? Nafkamina is that whatever is not a kesher is mutter, even permanently. Again, it's a little funny because they don't last permanently. This, but theoretically, mutter even permanently. Whatever is a kesher head goat. Sorry, where's my eraser? Is mutter temporarily, right, that we learned last time. And whatever is a shash of kesher uman is aser ligamri. Again, welcome. Sorry, we're making some of these things, but that's how the Mishnah Brura and all the Achronim understand the Ramah, the way you tie your shoes with a single knot and a single bow, that's the kind of kesher that's a kesher, but doesn't have a shash of uman because it doesn't last terribly long. But it is a knot. You put the knot and the bow together and it taka becomes something. You can't say it's klum. It taka becomes something. And that's the only example we have so far of an actual kesher hedyot. You'd think we should have at least one example if that's, you know, the kesher that Chazal talked about half the time. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, let us
bring... How did you come to the conclusion that the way you just... Mishmur to give an example of the way we tie our shoes. How did you come to that conclusion? I mean, there are so many problems with the conclusion that you came to. You admitted that there are problems with them. So how do we know that that's what the Mishmur was talking about?
So, first of all, because it makes sense to me, and I don't see the problem.
You don't see the problem.
And B, I should have brought my Lama Tesbalach. So even English isn't going to help us.
You admit that when you do, nobody would call it first thing a knot.
I would. I always called it since I was a baby. Since I was a baby, I called it a knot.
You don't use it to anything.
He also called it a knot. And he's been calling it a knot longer than I have.
Excuse me. Do you ever use that for anything?
Yes, you use it to tie your shoes.
Forget about the shoes. That one thing, do you ever do anything with that?
What? You don't call it a double knot when you do that twice?
Answer a question. Do you ever just, that one thing, do you ever just use that for any purpose?
No.
So it can't be anything.
That's not true.
Because
you can't, if you don't, if you make a bow without that knot, it doesn't work.
That doesn't, right?
Okay.
So it has some function.
You use it as a base for box knot.
Yeah.
Oh, of course you use it as a base. Use it as a base for the bow here, right?
Oh, base. But now you're making something new.
No, because for a box knot, you need the first one, or what you're calling a double knot, you need the first one to make the second one, to strengthen it. Right. It's part of the knot.
Okay.
Here, with the bow, you don't need the
first one. Let's see here. In any case, that's what I think of these. That's what I also thought it meant, but it's all tautological. Anything I read from any book won't prove anything, unless it actually has a picture, because no one agrees what the words mean. Okay, this is what I'm teaching it. You wanna learn it differently, you have every right to do so. But not in my vagina. So, okay, let's just think about some other cases. So what about this case? This is the way many people tie their shoes. You make a knot, you take a knot, then you make one bow, then you make another bow. That's right. Right? Now, you see how really the bow, whoops. Okay, I got stuck here because there was already a knot within the single strand that I got stuck with on these shoelaces. What?
It's to prevent exactly that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stark. Okay, let me try this again. Here, I made what I call a single knot. Then I made a bow. And then I made another bow. Right? Now here, right, the bows come out left with a single knot. I mean, a double bow comes out just as easily as a single bow. That double uneven comes out as, obviously it adds strength. But it comes out as easily as a single uneven with pulling. What about that? So this is a little unclear because here even I get confused by how people use the lashon. I'm not in a double bow. On the one hand, the Orcha Shabbos in Perek Asiri Halacha, and this is real Halacha Lemaisa because this is the way a lot of people tie their shoes. Because some people find that their shoes, especially kids, come out with a regular, what I call a knot in a bow.
Mine always does.
But if you do it, and
that's not those wax shoelaces. If you don't do it twice, they just.
Aha, okay. So says the Orcha Shabbos. Now, Lai Makshurus Kedarka Banival Gabi Kesher, right? You think he called the normal Derech Anival Gabi Kesher, like I do. A Nire. You can make another bow on top, meaning tie the two loops together. If you tie the strings together, that would be a knot. If you tie that would not come out when you pull. Tie the loops together is another bow. He thinks a knot and a double bow is not a kesher gabi kesher. It's no shasha uman. Obviously, you can only do it temporarily, but most people tie their shoes temporarily anyway. Okay, so the Gemara says in the old days that the Tamei Chum were such masmidim that they would tie their shoes for a long long stretch at once, although there's not much shown what that means.
Who is this?
The Orcha Shabbos. He's pretty religious. So he says the Orcha Shabbos, that a single knot and a double bow is a kesher head yot. And it's fine on Shabbos. Again, fine temporarily. It's something. It's just fine temporarily. You do it in the morning and take it out at night.
Isn't the Dorsfer is a hefsek?
What?
Isn't this for there's no kesher al gabi kesher? It's a kesher al gabi niva.
Okay.
Does that mean kesher
idea? No, but lemais is aim bazech shash mais uman klal. Okay. You could. It might be saying the same thing in different words, not in the estaiti, but you know, it could be. Now, says the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, Tesvav Nun Zayin, in Mutterlan of Aniva al Gabi Aniva, sorry, Kesher al Gabi Aniva is a problem like Kesher al Gabi Kesher. Okay, and you're not allowed to do it unless you have a, you know, some sort of tsar or big tzorech or etc. So he answers a Kesher al Gabi Aniva. So it's not clear to me, is he talking about the same thing like, is he talking about the same thing as the Orcha Shabbos is talking about? Or is he talking about something else? Meaning, here's my Kesher, here's my Aniva.
Well, one
second, I know exactly what the Orcha Shabbos is talking about. He says, you take the two loops and tie them again, that's a double bow. Of course, the other thing you can do is take these two strings and tie them again, which is a double knot, which is how you can be pretty strong.
Or take everything and tie it again.
What? Oh, look at that. That's cool. Hold on. Yeah, no, here, I tied this. But what if I tie everything again? That'll be really tight? Then it'll never come out? I mean, that'll never come out. It'll never come out until you untie it. Until you untie it, Havana.
When I was a kid, we used to say the double bow, you make a knot over the bow. You know, you put them together, and then you couldn't pull it out. Maybe that's what it means.
Yeah, here. Now, this is pretty tight. That's that I'm not clear. When the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa...
you pull that out, or you have to...
No, you can't pull that out. When the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa answered another knot, did he mean to argue on the Orcha Shabbos? Here, even I lose track of the words. Or did he mean something else, like a real knot on top of the bow? And so this is not 100% clear to me. Clearly, the Orcha Shabbos has a single knot and a double bow is Beseder.
Why can't we just say, according to what you explained, just putting the first in the Kishus, now they're just talking about a bow, and then you made the thing.
No, he says there's a knot underneath.
Excuse me?
He says there's a knot underneath, then a bow, then another knot.
But according to the definition that you explained, so the first thing that's you call it a knot, then you made a bow, then you just did this.
Did what?
The same first. You did the third thing. You did the same thing as you did in stage one. Well, that's just to be consistent with your definition.
Right, but what does that mean? Like, I know what it means to make a knot, but do you make it with this,
no.
With this, or with both?
It doesn't matter. You just take the thing and you put it through. You didn't. That's what you did. You repeated the first stage.
Oh, hold on. Oh, I'm left with a double knot. Uh oh. Look at that. Yeah, if I repeat the first stage by just doing the two ends together, I could be left with a double knot. You saw I pulled that too hard, I was left with a double knot. So I don't know. Clearly this would be a shash of... of Kesher Uman. What's not clear to me is, if you do another bow on top of the knot in the bow, to the Shmir Shabbos, and maybe the Shmir Shabbos Kolkasa argues. That is... not clear if he means to argue or not. Lemaisa, especially since the whole idea of a double knot is really a chumrah anyway, according to the Chazon Ish, I think we can be mako like the Orcha Shabbos to say that a knot with a double bow is not, it's much weaker than a double knot, that's clear. Meaning halach lemaisa, not halach lemaisa, means lemaisa. If I tie this in a double bow, in a double knot, it's going to last a lot longer and be a lot stronger than a knot and two bows. I mean, clearly, b'mitzias, a knot and a double bow, is less than a double knot. If you wear it, you'll see. I mean, why do people not make a double knot? They don't make a double knot because it holds too well and it's hard to untie their shoes. But that's exactly the point. Meaning, why does someone make a knot and a double bow and not a double knot? Because I don't want to make a double knot, but how am I going to untie my shoes afterwards? Right, it's going to be hard to untie my shoes. Not in a double bow, anyone who has kids who are really active, even if you are not in a double bow, if they play soccer and are very active, it ends up coming out in the course of the day anyway. And even if I wear my shoes with a knot in a double bow, some days it ends up coming out just by accident. It's clearly not as strong as a double knot. So I think we can rely on the Orcha Shabbos and make a knot and a double bow on Shabbos, even though I can't promise that it's 100% agreed on.
So what is it?
That's my maskana. Oh, that is, if you do the single knot, hope everyone's looking, and then you do a bow, and then instead of tying the two bows together, which makes another bow, you tie the two strings together. If you tie the two strings together, observe what happens. It's like this, and if I pull it really hard, it turns into a double knot. This is a double knot now. It's a double knot.
That's like if you did one on top of the other.
And now it's like a double knot with something in between. Or if I...
Well, you can
that would for sure be hustler. That would for sure be as bad as a double knot. Or the other thing, which Avi said would be for sure as bad as a double knot, is if I go like this, and then I take all the three strings and tie it into all three strings together. That's haka pretty strong. That's going to last all day. This is also a double knot.
So the only reason you're writing Ulai Shmir HaShabbat Kilkata is because you're not sure.
Because I'm not sure if he means to asser something else and not to agree with the Orcha Shabbos or to disagree with the Orcha Shabbos. It's
either way.
What?
Either way.
This is for sure asser. Yeah. I mean, either Shmir HaShabbos Kilkata was assering it or Ali Day Kol Shekani was assering it.
Can it be temporary, the double bow?
Yes, because that just means the kesher head yod. We pass in the kesher head yod is only one if it's temporary.
That's what? One day?
One day, but welcome tzorach, 7 days. Okay. There is a bit of a discussion, by the way, that the Orcha Shabbos brings the Shmir Shabbos Gochas, the Shmir Shabbos Gochas in Perek Tesvav, footnote Kof Peches. What if you do a single knot? This is an issue. This is the question. If you want to be Machmir, the Machmir, how do they do the Gwila? At Mincha. So we said, the Shmir Shabbos Gochas said the Minig Olam, the Orcha Shabbos says to me, Meiko, you can do a single knot in a bow, even though it lasts more than one day, because we can make it in the 7 days. But what if you want to be Machmir, then what do you do? You could do just the bow. If you did just the bow, it might not really last long enough, and it might not be a proper Kavod Torah, but if you do a nice bow, you could try doing just the bow, but it would be tricky whether we really get anywhere. You could do a single knot, but that you won't get anywhere either. So one thing you could do is you could wrap it around and around, and then just tuck it in. That's mutter, right? You wrap around and around and around, and then just tuck it in the other ones, and if you wrap it tight enough, it'll stick because of the tightness, at least till Monday morning. How long will it last? It won't last till next Yom Tov, but it'll last till Monday morning. What if, or maybe it won't, what if you do a single knot and then tuck it in? How about a single knot and then tucking it in? Is a single knot and then tucking it in, okay, can we consider that ois kesher legamre and mutter even for a longer period of time? So that's a big machlokas from your Shabbos. The Chassid brings a machlokas about this. But the Orcha Shabbos is mekel that if you do, you wrap it around and around and around, tie a single knot and then tuck in the end, that could still be mutter even for a longer time, because maybe that's still not considered a kesher at all. Okay, but that's controversial. The Orcha Shabbos is mekel. Yes, Yosef.
Isn't it really safe to just make it a
bow? What?
You
could just make a double bow also, and a chram. Maybe that'll last till Monday morning. Maybe it just doesn't work very well.
I think with a thicker thing, it's probably harder to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's another thing. Like thicker ropes.
No, and some things, not another. Right. It gets tricky. It really depends also how much friction there is. Anyway, I hear the Taina. I don't think it's a raya. I don't know if enough people discussed it with all the scenarios to make that deal from silence. But you can be my anymore. Okay, so this is very sodistic, this if hey. Zev tells us we should have done it first. But this is describing the different kind of knots that are common in our lives. Okay, and what?
We were growing up, so we weren't allowed to do Gavilah because the Baal Matan kicked us out of shul because we did Gavilah because
you were Machmer.
Really?
Okay, Baruch Hashem. It's important religiously for when people, yeshiva light, are growing up to be machmer and the kind of things the Baal Batim will kick them out of Glila for. And it's important religiously for the Baal Batim to kick them out of Glila. Okay, Vav. Koshrim Chevel.
Come back and tell their parents all the things that they're doing
wrong. Koshrim Chevel Bifnei HaParah. This is also some examples from the Gemara. Koshrim Chevel Bifnei HaParah Shoshal Teitzei. You can tie a rope in your doorway, or the doorway of your barn, I hope, to keep the cow from going out. Va'afilu bebeis, even two. So it's a bit of machlokas rishonim. What does it mean, even two? So some people say it means, what's the chiddush? Some people say the chiddush of two is one, two. You can even tie it on both sides. What's the chiddush? Have a meaning you might have thought, when you tie it on both sides, a stam person's kavana is to leave one side permanently and take the other side, use the other side to let the cow in and out. Right, if I tie it on both sides, I could say side one is forever, side two, I'm going to untie to let the cow in and out, and tie to keep the cow. So, Kamash one, no, when people tie it on both sides, they mean that neither side is going to be permanent, they're going to take down one side, take down the other side, they're going to take down both sides. That's one shot of a field day's Rosh at Pesach, and that's what the Machaber says, even on both sides. And we don't worry that you're going to leave one side tied forever. No, that's not the derech of most people, so we don't worry about that. The other pshat in the Gemara is that it means two strings. One, two. And what's the havmina? You might have thought when you keep your cow with two strings, when you want to let the cow out, you'll only untie the bottom string and he'll duck under. And the top string will leave forever. Kamashulun, no, when people want to let their cow out, they let their cow go out beyond Ramah, Bekoma, Zakufa, and they untie them both. Okay.
What kind of knot were we referring to?
What?
What
we're referring to a knot. Well, according to the Mechaber, we're referring to a knot that's not a kesher uman, and therefore it's mutter if it's temporary. What kind of knot is not a kesher uman?
If it's temporary, it's rabban.
What?
If it's not temporary.
Then it's then it's rabban according to the Mechaber.
So I can use this svara of V.H. Breyer, and then you don't have a problem because I could tie both them. Whichever one I'll open, I'll be the one.
No, because then I tied one permanently.
But you didn't. You tied two the same. Now you're saying there's a chashash. One of them I'll leave. I didn't tie them differently. So each one is made with me'ater.
That could be a chashash that a person will even have in mind which one he wants to leave.
That's the point. So then sucks, that's
but even so, Breyer's not going to help us. Breyer means one of them is permanent. That doesn't make it mutter. That makes it usser.
No, but each one... Each one is only zmanim. So on each one, you can't ask them because each one is money. That's why you
each pay. Yeah. So this is where the achronim are medayim from here. Actually, that when you tie, let's say you tie two things, when you tie something that 50-50, whether you leave it forever or not, that's considered permanent. Breva yesh l'ayin, not for now. What else did I want to point out about sifvav? Okay, good. Zayin, metavlan chevesol gardi. You're allowed to carry the weaver's rope, the special rope the weaver uses. And there is some discussion in the Rishonim of a chashash mukta here, but the assumption is Mishbura says that the way we pass there's no chashash mukta in ropes, that stam ropes are like useful things. They're kalim, they're not mukta. Ropes are not like sticks or stones or dirt. Ropes are useful things, so they're not mukta. So the question is not mukta here, the question is just kosher. So you're allowed to carry the weaver's rope, but the word metatlin comes from the Gemara, and that's why some are Rishonim, if you look in Beis Yosef, brought in mukta here. We assume, ain in yashal mukta here, ropes are not mukta. Ropes are manufactured useful items. Okay, lakashra ba'avos v'para, to tie your cow to the trough. Why do you need to tie your cow to the trough? I guess when you want your cow to eat, you don't want her wandering away, so you tie her to the trough. The lo chashina sheme yata rosha echav yani chashini kayim. You're allowed to use a weaver's rope to tie your cow to the trough, and we don't worry, it'll be permanent. How can it be permanent? Doesn't your cow eventually have to leave the trough? No. Obviously, both sides can't be permanent. Then your cow would never be able to walk again. No, what we're not chosheish is that you might as well. Let's be chosheish. You'll leave it on the trough and just tie and untie the cow for the next 30 years, or you'll leave it on the cow and tie and untie the trough for the next 30 years. Come on, so we're not kosher to that because the weaver needs his rope for weaving. So we don't worry about that. But a regular rope, we are worried. Because a regular rope, it would be normal to tie it to the cow and to the trough, and one side is permanent and the other side is temporary. And, however, now we have a question. The Mishavura asks in Chaf Aleph, didn't we learn in Sif Hey that Sif Dalid, we're Gozer Chevel Degardi Otu Chevel De Alma? How come here we're not Gozer Chevel Degardi Otu Chevel De Alma? So he says, just a practical chiluk. In Sif Dalid, by the Dli, most people in a regular Chevel would tie it permanently. And therefore, there are Gozer even on a weaver's rope. In Sif Zion, no, only some people, only a minority of people would tie it permanently. So we'll aser the regular rope because of that minority of people. But we're not also going to aser the Chevel Degardi onto something that's not so common. That's the Mishnah Berurah's resolution. Okay, Aval Chevel D'Amalo, V'hani Milo Kosher B'Avos V'Para. This is to tie it to the trough and the cow. Aval Haya Kosher B'Avos Rosh the Kosher B'Para. Omay Kosher B'Avos the Kosher B'Avos Mot B'Chol Chevel. But if the rope was already tied to the trough, you're just tying it to the cow, or was already tied to the cow, you're just tying it to the trough, that's much of all ropes. Why? Because if it's already tied to the trough, then obviously you're going to leave it on the trough and tie and untie the cow. So when you tie the cow, it's temporary. If it's already tied to the cow, like if you already have it tied to the trough, you've shown that in your farm, you keep it on the trough permanently and the cow temporarily, so it's mutter. If it's already tied to the cow, you've shown that in your farm, you always leave it on the cow permanently and on the trough temporarily. So then there's no chashash. Yes, yes, Tovia.
Can we assume in Rabban Zion that there's no zero to zero problem? If it's only going to be a dinder, if it's only going to be a kesher shel derabanan, we're worried that maybe you'll
And me and the Hevel Hardy. Oh, maybe Kulachad Xera. It's all a Hevel. Okay. What? Well, Vav, you don't really have any Xera.
What's the worst that happened? It's not a Kesher.
No, but here it's not really Xera. It's not like don't do X because you might do Y. It's don't tie it because that itself is usher sometimes. That's not so much of a Xera. Okay. Then the end. The Mishnah Berurah in the end of Lamed Aleph, Darko Bakodesh, he often, at the end of the Siman, throws in things that he didn't find a place to stick in. So he sticks in a couple of discussions here. One is this Rambam who says there's no kosher by animal food. Animal food, he doesn't mean you go to the store and buy dog food. He means things that are roi to feed animals. Things that are roi to feed animals are not chashav, and therefore there's no issur of kosher. Like, for example, you take like a hay, right? Don't they feed animals hay? And you tie the hay onto something, that's no problem, assuming it's the kind of hay that you can tie, or reeds is the example that the Bir Halacha deals with. And you tie into something, that's no problem, because anything that's animal food is not a chash of kosher. In the Bir Halacha, he has a long...
It doesn't fit into what we do today.
He has a long discussion of who ties animal food onto anything. No, it's not. But what do they tie it with? I don't care what's inside. I care what they used to tie it. They tie the hay with hay. They make the knot out of hay.
That's what it means.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're tying up animal food. If you tie up animal food with string, that's a hesedoresa. It means the string is animal food. That's obviously not a standard way of tying, right? And since the string is such a non-chashav item, that's not called tying, because it's just animal food. It's not like a real string. Now, there's a whole discussion of the Bir Halachas and Arichas. I'm not going to read to you now. The Mishnah Berurah is a little nervous about this. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Adam, who's Machmir, and says, you know what? I don't think that's such a good heter. Just because something is edible by animals, why can't it also be a good string? And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Adam. The Bir Halacha is not so Machmir. Over here, he quotes the Chai Adam to be Machmir. He says, you know what? Maybe that Kula was only on animal food, meaning things that break apart when they get dry and don't last like a lot of like hay. If you let it sit for a while, it'll get brittle and crack, right? Reeds, you let them sit for a while, they'll dry and the knot will crack. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to be machmir. He says maybe even though the Rambam was mechadish this heter of animal food, he didn't mean across the board animal food doesn't count. If the animal food happens to be a good string, it is asur d'oraisa. He just meant animal food as an example of something that, if you leave it for a couple of weeks, will disintegrate or crack. Therefore, it can't be called kosher, because even if the knot is a very good knot, the material doesn't last. Okay, that's a reasonable way of minimizing the chiddush of the Rambam.
Is it the same thing by human food?
Kolshkin by human food, b'chora.
No, it's like meaning if a person takes a...
Let's say you take a string licorice and you tie something with it.
Right.
So I think the Rambam would be Mekel, yeah?
That's what I'm saying, but like we should...
Because also it won't last very long.
Does it we should be Machmir of that? Because of the Mishnah Berurah, or...
You mean on human food that lasts for a long time?
I don't know.
This never comes up. When does this come up?
You have like the pollen peel and you make it...
The what?
Pollen peel and that.
The what?
Fruit by the foot.
You make a knot in the fruit by the foot? No, so even the Chayotah would be Mekel in that. If you make a knot in the fruit by the foot, it's not going to last long. The fruit by the foot will dry out and the knot will crack.
Really?
Yeah, once you take it out of the wrapper, I think so.
Can you apply this then to non-food items?
It's a good question. It's a good question. You know, I'm not sure if you would necessarily want to be Mako, because maybe the Rambam had something else in mind, Yeshlein. Okay, the last thing is very important. Says the Rambam, the last line of Mishnah Berurah. He quotes a Rambam, which is a chiddush of the Rambam. But in and of itself, it's not so crazy. Haposel chavolim. When you twist strings into a rope. You ever see how a rope is made? It's made of different strands and they twist them together. That's posel chavolim. Now, I'm not talking here about spinning thread. Spinning thread is its own malacha. I'm talking here about you make ropes. You have threads already. And what do you do with you? Not when you make threads out of tiny little inch-long pieces of fabric, that's a different thing. That's called spinning. That's a different zach. I'm talking about you have threads and strings, and how do you make ropes? You twist them together. This comes up actually in tzitzis. If you look at tzitzis, your tzitzis is made of different threads that are then twisted together. You see the twist here, right? If you can see a twist, like on regular rope or in tzitzis, that means it was twisted together of many threads. Sometimes it starts to come out on your tzitzis, that's very annoying, and you twist it back. Not that that ever really works. But what if you were to twist it back on Shabbos? So the Rambam says that's a real, real problem. He thinks that's what's called kosher. That's a chiddush. You're not tying a knot. He says the equivalent. What's tying a knot? You take the strings and you tie them together. If you take the strings and twist them together into a rope, that's also a tolda of kosher. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. And then he says the converse. And if you untwist the rope or tzitzis into the component strands, that's a tolda of matir. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay, kitzer, we're not going to do that on Shabbos. Where it gets controversial is what I quoted to you here from the Orach HaShabbos, and he quoted the Shemir Shabbos Filchasa, but I quoted here from the Orach HaShabbos in Sif Lamed, is can we learn from there to the union of twist ties? You know what twist ties are? Right. It's those things with metal things, right? They don't really have them so much anymore, no?
Here in Israel, right?
Yeah. And even in America, they would come like in a strip and you had to separate them, and that was Asar and Shabbos, separate them anyway in the first place, because Korea, Makapatis, whatever, maybe we'll see.
No, but you're there, sometimes like your bread will come with twisted.
Right, so you well, just...
That list thing you said on my own, what we learned, it's that they mock tearing apart the name, that's a problem.
Yesh. Okay, yesh. That is a good point. Okay, that is a good point. Maybe we'll come back to that. Let's just say that by the Madanim there's no Korea because it's a hard substance. Here there's Korea, so it's more calmer. Sure. But I hear the time. Okay, I'll think about that. The mice of those twist ties, what you do is you just turn around and then you just go twist. I wish I had a twist tie here. So is that usher on Shabbos?
It's only one string, right?
It's one string and you just twist it. You don't tie any knots. There's no knots involved. So the Orach HaShabbos quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav El Yashiv.
Why is that different than just putting a belt on?
A what?
Why is that any different than putting on a belt?
Ah, because when you put on a belt, you're not twisting. Here you're twisting. So he quotes from Chashuva Poskim or Yashuva Shlomo Zalman, who extrapolate from the Rambam that twisting is a tzura of kesher.
But I twisted what? Here we're talking about twisting two things. They're not twisting.
Yeah, it's the two ends of the twist tie.
But it's the same piece.
It's
the same piece.
The
Rambam
was talking about a lot of strings together.
It's the same piece.
I know, but it's the two ends of the same.
So is a belt. What's the difference?
No, but you don't twist the belt. You hook the belt. Isn't hooking a different action than twisting?
And the one they had the buckles in the first was the thing that was different. It's the same exact thing as a belt.
Here. Let's make sure we know what to do when you have a twist tie. This is not going to work because this isn't made of metal. Right? Oh, I should do this the whole time. I can do all my belt buttons. I don't know. But I can do all my regular shoes. You just go like this. And then you just twist it. You twist it without any knots, but since it's metal, it stays. It's a simple shot. You would think, what does that have to do with kosher? You're not making any knots. It's just a piece of metal that stays because it's hard. What does that have to do with kosher? And the Orach HaShabbos quotes from Rav Wasner, the Shevet Alevi, who says, of course, it's mutter. What does that have to do with kosher? You're not doing what the Rambam talks about. You're not making a knot. You're not making a rope. What does that do with kosher? It's just a piece of metal that's holding something in place.
Who says it? Who said
it? Rav Wasser, Shevet Alevi. However, he quotes from Yashar Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, no, they make like a common denominator of this Rambam and the whole Siman. We know when you like take two ends and you tie them together, that's kosher. We know when you twist strings into a rope, that's kosher. So when you twist two ends to keep them together, that's a common denominator, that's also kosher. I mean, they learned the Rambam's post the Chabalim goes back into the whole siman, and whenever you do a mice of twisting, that's like a mice of tying. That's a big chiddush. That doesn't seem, the Rambam seems to come at a totally different inyan of making ropes. But nonetheless, and the Rambam's talking about strings, not about pieces of metal, they're not strings. Nonetheless, even though the Svar of Wasner is correct, Lani is Daiti, literally, and it doesn't seem to be It doesn't really seem to be kosher here. Nonetheless, big posting like Rishon Mazamin or Rul Yashiv. Our machmor in the Shemir Shabbos Gachos is also machmor on it in Peretes somewhere, if I recall correctly. I didn't put it on the sheet here, but in Peretes, Halacha Yodalad in the new ones, he's also machmor on it. So if all these big posts are machmor on it, then I can't be makel. That's what he says here. Asur lafeif put barzel asur plastic b'shulei asakit. Okay, lafeif is the twist.
We used to say,
and you can't open it either then. So that's a big chiddush. But it's hard to be makel against such big poskim and against Shmir Shabbos Gochasa, which is a very makel book. So lamaisa, we'd have to be machmer on it, which also means you can't untie it if you find it that way. Luckily, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have that anyway, even during the weekdays, so it's no problem. On the bread, what you get is the plastic that's folded over, but it's not twisted; it's just folded, so then it's okay.
People used to say that you could wrap it around rather than twist it. And of others, that if it was came tight, you just pull it off.
Yeah, those are both correct. So you could wrap it around, that's not a mice of twisting. And you could pull it off, that's also not a mice. That's like you have a string that's tied around something, you pull it off, that's fine. The string is still tied, you just pulled it off.
Comes untwisted, or it comes untwisted.
Yeah, that's never shame misconduct.
Even if you do one time?
Pash this.
So the person in America, they want a slice of bread from that thing, they should just destroy the bread from the other side?
No, Yishai just gave you a good eitza. Just slip it off. You can slip it off if you do it slowly. Just slip the whole thing off. And it'll stay twisted. Okay, or rip the bag. Alright, or be makel, but I can't be makel.
What's the difference that you just did between folding and twisting?
Because twisting, there's this round. No, because twisting goes around itself. When you get the bread in Israel, it's just folded. Okay, twisting is a certain tzura, which folding is not. I don't know. What?
Yeah,
but
it's not
derisive.
It's
not
derisive.
I think they are. Okay, yeah, we don't make zeros on things that are not so clear in the first place. Okay, anyone who wants to be gozer will gozer on themselves. Okay. You have my license to be gozer on yourself. Okay, I think that's about all we have to say. I think we've said what we, not just all we have to say, but all we need to say about kosher. And now we're ready to go on to the next topic, which is Topher and Korea. Okay, there's not really a simon for Topher in Korea, as you noticed. Topher made it into the simon of miscellaneous Hilchos Shabbos in Shin Mem. Right, what's the official title of Shin Mem? Kama dina midvarim hasurim b'Shabbos ke'in toldos me'avos. Okay, not even willing to commit. Ke'in toldos me'avos. Okay, so it makes it into Shin Lama Tess, also miscellaneous Hilchos Shabbos. It makes it into miscellaneous Hilchos Shabbos. A lot of miscellaneous Hilchos Shabbos here at the end, that's why it's all the way at the end. It's before some non-miscellaneous things, but some, like, you know, not strictly Hilchos Shabbos things, like Katan and Pikuach Nefesh, etc. Okay, so says the Shulchan Aruch. There's four Seifim and Shin Mem, which are about Topher and Korea, and we already learned some things, as I mentioned on the sheet. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Mem. You know, Moshe, whenever you get a chance. Vav. So in Vav, before we get to Vav, the Mishnah Brura, since Vav is the first mention of Topher, really, like, per se, direct mention of Topher in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Mishnah Brura, in the middle of Siv Vav, throws in some facts about, where am I? Am I in the right place? One second. Yeah, Va'agav in the Merak Tzatz Din Topher. Right, so Va'agav, he gives us some introductions to Topher. So let's do a little introduction to Topher. What does the Mishnah Berurah tell us in Sivkot Mechav Zayin about Topher? Atover Shtei Tefiros Chayiv. That's a Mishnah, right? Two stitches is Chayiv. V'hu Shekosher Rosh Eichut Mikana Mikana Tosh Yul Tishma V'afilo Ha Yishol Kayam V'im Ha Yishol Kayam V'chayiv Kav Yishol Kosher Kosher V'linin Chiyuva V'linin Sur Yishol Mdas V'filo Asim Kesher Klal. Okay, you have to use what he had one said before. Also, he says that the basic problem is if you do two stitches, then you can't be chayiv. That doesn't last at all. So So he says, you either have to do three stitches, that's the previous sentence, three stitches your chayiv, because then it'll last a little more, or two stitches and you tie a temporary knot. The temporary knot with the stitches will last long enough that even though you're not chayiv for the knot, you're chayiv for the stitches. Okay, there's some din if you're looking long enough rum, whether you're chayiv for a temporary knot or only a permanent knot, but almost everyone says, like Mishnah Berurah, if you tie two stitches in a temporary knot, even though it's not kosher, that's enough to make it tofer. So that is tofer tying two stitches. What about if you tie two stitches and you don't tie it? Sorry, if you stitch two stitches and you don't tie it, then you're putter. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, two stitches without tying, Belini Yisur, Yishomrim da Asur, Vafil Asa Kesher Klal. No, the Mishnah Berurah's question is an Isur Drabbanan of stitching if you make two stitches, even if you don't tie it. Okay, what's the nafkina for us? We're not going to stitch anything. We're not sewing anything on Shabbos. We're not sewing one stitch, we're not sewing two stitches, we're not sewing three stitches with or without tying it. The nafkamina is the famous chumra, the korban asanel. Says the alkeno some nashim tochen that cries. Anyone have one with a translation of the Yiddish? Translate cries for us. No one has the one that translates Yiddish in the Mishnah Berurah.
I do, but he doesn't have this word.
Yeah, he doesn't
translate.
Yeah, not Yiddish. Okay. Im habeged. B'machat b'shtei tkifos, lav shaper avdi, says the Karban Asanel. Okay, he doesn't say your mamash b'chal Shabbos, he says lav shaper avdi. Karban Asanel's machri, you shouldn't stake a pin in two stitches. Because that's a chash of tofer, at least midrabanan, even though it's a temp, it's not, you know, it's a little hard for the pin to last without tying it. But he's still machmir.
What does that mean?
Ah, what does two stitches mean? It means just in and out. And a safety pin, l'chora, is much worse than a regular pin, because you tie it afterwards, right? I mean, you hook it in, right? So meaning a safety pin, if you put the safety pin in, what, anyone have a safety pin? I'm woefully unprepared for shear today. They would kick me out of kindergarten a long time ago. If you take a safety pin, no one has any other kind of pin? A dangerous pin?
No, I needed a safety pin a couple of days ago, and no one, I couldn't find one anywhere in Greece.
Avi, safety pin?
I don't think that happened.
You don't have to take your bag apart. Okay, basically, if you stick your safety pin in once, that's not tofer, that's only one tchifa. But that's not what people usually do. What people usually do is, they take the safety pin, let's say they put it on the inside so it won't be visible, right? They want to attach two things. They put it on the inside, they go out and then back in, that's two stitches. You don't have to go out in, out in. Just out in is two stitches. And then they click it on the inside, and it holds their whatever to their whatever. Right? That is a, you know, whatever. You split the seam of your pants, what do? You take a safety pin, you put it inside, you go through, and then back to where you started, and you click it. According to the Karban Asanel, hold on. Now you have a chashash of tofer. You did two stitches. And a safety pin is much worse. They hadn't invented safety pills in the Karban Asanel time. Safety pin is not a chashash karbanon. Maybe it's even a chashash tofer. I'm not promising you what the Karban Asanel would say. Because it's two, and then it clicks afterwards. Clicking is like tying. Right? It gives it chozik. So that's the famous chumra of the Karban Asanel. Why is this such a famous chumra in a chiddush? Isn't it pasha that you're sewing is sewing? Because what might you have thought? What? That's not sewing. Sewing is with string. Pinning is not sewing. Pinning is pinning. Oh, it's the same maisa as sewing. Meaning, now it's the same maisa. You stick it in and out, in and out. It's the same maisa for the same reason, to stick the two things together. But, says the Achronim, like the Reb Shlomo Zalman and others, says no. Sewing is like it becomes part of the clothes. Pinning is obviously just some temporary stopgap measure. That's not part of the, it doesn't become part of how you want your clothing to be. Pinning is obviously pinning is not supposed to be part of the clothing. It's not supposed to be pinned. It's obviously not integrating into the clothing. Maybe tofer is only when you make it the chefza the way it's supposed to be. Like it's part of the chefza. The pin is not part of the chefza. The pin is, it doesn't belong in clothing except as a stopgap measure. And B, pinning is obviously used for opening, closing. It's not something which you use for attaching things. It's something you use for holding things in place temporarily. So it's something you use for holding things in place temporarily, and it's not even really part of the clothing. So maybe that's just not called tofer in the first place. Meaning, if you call it tofer in the first place, you're in trouble because you did two stitches. But who says pinning is called tofer in the first place? So this is the famous machlokas, the Karp Nisan Ol's Machmer, and everyone else in the world is Mekel. The Chazanish is Mekel, the Orchus. Shabbos is Mekel. Shmir Shabbos Golchasa says in Perek Tesvav, Se'if, Se'if Ayin Dalid, he says, we hold against the Karban Asano, Mutter the Chov Sikaba Beged, etc. Avigamatos Rosh Meshbe Sikapi Tachon. But he says, in Efshar, Al Yitchov Sikaba Beged Pamayim Pamachas Bovad. If you can, it's good to be Machmer and just stick it in once and not twice. Then it won't look so nice because it'll be visible from the outside, but I guess it depends where it is. In Efshar, it's good to be Machmer Choshish for the Karban Asano and not do two stitches with a safety pin. However, Medina, all the Achronim, you look at the footnotes here, all the Achronim disagree with the Karban Asano and say, that's not called Topher in the first place. To be called Topher, it has to be the kind of thing that becomes part of the clothing, becomes part of the object, and that's meant to attach things for a long time. Safety pins are the kind of things that are only meant to be used temporarily and to be taken off very soon. And they don't become part of the clothing, so it's not called Topher in the first place. So Me'ikaradim we hold not like the Karban Asano, we hold it's much to use a safety pin however you want. However, certainly if you do it temporarily, you know, that's Eels also the Tzar, if you always do it temporarily, and Me'ikaradim we hold temporary sewing is mutter, so therefore we don't really worry about the Karban Asano, certainly if you do it temporarily. However, it is there's a chumra that if you can, it's nice to be machmer for the Karban Asano. Okay, so it's good to know the Karban Asano is out there. That it is a nice that it is a nice chumra, but may ikaradin we hold it is not a problem. Let's just talk about then before we get to actual sevav. Some other examples of things which it's a question whether these are bechlal, what we call sewing or not. So one example that the Shmir Shabbos Klasa deals with is, what about staples? Are staples sewing? After all, staples is just a pen. So the simple pshat is, and this is the pshat of the Orchus Shabbos, the simple pshat is that no, staples cannot be compared to a safety pin or a regular clothes or a regular pen. Staples are things you use to really make things. Right? Staples are things you use. You staple things to make booklets, to make all kinds of important things. Staples are very much like stitches. You use them to attach things for on a long-term basis. Professionals do them. They become part of your book. So the simple shot is that staples are like stitches, and by staples, then you have to be machmer. The Shmir Shabbos Golchasa himself, in Perichov Ches, Halacha Zayin, is makel that... Well, if you have a temporary staple and you are, if you have a temporary staple and you're removing it and you're not going to restaple it, so maybe there's a little more room to be mako, because maybe stapling is like pinning. So he does bring up a shot that maybe stapling is like pinning, but that is a very, very big finish. Simple shot is that stapling is like sewing. That's a way that people put stitches in things to keep them together as part of and making things the way, as part of making things out of different parts. So a simple shot is that stapling is sewing, even though pinning is not.
But you don't do the same, meaning shtei tefiros or shlosh tefiros.
Unlike pinning, staples is a slightly different maisa.
It goes straight through once, and that's it. It's not. You don't put it back.
Well, every staple is two stitches, right? One at each end. But you're right, it's not like sewing because you don't go through. Yeah. You don't continue the chain. Every staple is basically two stitches.
No, but you can put a pin through once.
Yeah.
Why can't you put a staple through once?
Because every staple has two ends and it's two stitches.
Oh.
Right? Right, every staple makes two stitches, one on the right side, one on the left side. Right, if you look at a staple, here's your two things you want to staple together. Here's the staple. It goes like this. So you have two stitches, one over here, one over here.
It's more than that, because it closes.
Right. Yeah, I know. And it closes, so the two stitches sticks.
Can you really have sewing in clothing, non-clothing? You're not sewing two papers together.
Okay, that is an excellent question. Can you have sewing in things that aren't clothing? So the answer is, we Paskin for sure, yes. can I absolutely prove without a shadow of a doubt that no one would disagree? No. We passed him for sure, yes. And all Rishonim, or at least dozens of Rishonim, say yes in different contexts. For example, in the famous Gemara of How to Be Chayiv, 12 Chatzos, whatever, Rashi says when you sew the rim of the lip of the basket, sewing the basket out of the reeds, that's tofer, even though it's not clothing.
At least you're doing a stitch. When you're cabling something, I know at the end of the day it might look similar to a stitch that you're holding a mechanism together, but you're not doing a stitch.
Correct. You're not doing a it's not exactly, meaning a safety pin is the same mice as sewing.
Yeah.
Staples is a slightly different mice than sewing. Nonetheless, the simple pshat, and most poskim assume that stapling is sewing, and that makes sense intuitively. It's awfully darn close. In technical terms.
If you tie a string, you have a hole in your shirt, you tie a string through the hole on one side, the string hole on the other side. Like, are you...
That's sewing.
That's sewing, or is that...
That's sewing. No, that's sewing. I mean, that's a very weird case of sewing, because it's two things, but that's what sewing means. You go in and in one side, and out the other side. That's what sewing is.
We didn't discuss stitching for food, did we?
Not yet. But we will.
We
might have mentioned it, but we'll really mention it here. Correct, that is a big issue. You know, Cheskel Bromsky is quoted as saying that Topher doesn't apply to people, and therefore you're allowed to stitch people on Shabbos. That kula is not accepted. I mean, Lemais is accepted in many cases, because even if you're not allowed to, you're allowed to. But it's not accepted that it's a non-malacha. Yeah.
Didn't we say that by dry cleaners, if somebody comes with a tag?
So let's come back to that, okay? I don't remember what we said, but whatever we said, we're going to say again. In none of these cases are the holes pre-existing.
If I put these papers and stuff something through them.
What holes are pre-existing? You mean through the loose leaf holes?
Yeah.
Ah, through the loose leaf holes, not so poshut. Hold that thought. But I'm talking about stapling. When you staple, the holes aren't pre-existing.
Yeah, like if those binders are the same as a staple.
Okay, pashtas, the loose leaf binders are not topher. If the holes are pre-existing, etc. Pashtas, that's not topher. I'm talking about staples. Like, people staple booklets together, and that's how you make booklets. I mean, not the fanciest way to make booklets. But, okay, so the simple pshat, even though you could look it up on your free time, Chaf, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, Perek Chaf Ches, Halacha Zayin, where he wants to have a tzad l'huckel, that stapling might be like pinning, and we could be makel against the carbon asanel, but that's not universally makubal. That's a chiddush. Pashtas, pinning is really a very different process than sewing, because again, the two factors they mentioned. It's always only done for a short while, and it's not part of your clothing. But stapling is usually done permanently, and it's part of the booklet when you staple it. When I have a staple makor sheet, the staple's part of the makor sheet. It's in the makor sheet that it has a staple, and that's how you that's what a good makor, that's what a good packet is supposed to have. All right, and Rabbi Simon told me to here, right? So you know that the learning means you have a staple. But obviously safety pin doesn't belong in clothing, right? Clothing is, the tour of clothing doesn't include a safety pin. Okay, so that's why by staples I find it hard to be makel. Okay, can you makel anyway because of temporariness, we'll see. But I find it hard to be makel just based on staple. Okay, now let's just mention a few other things. What about buttons? Is button sewing? What if I button something? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa brings down in Perek Tesvav Halacha Ayin Ches, Shlomo Zalman, no, buttons are fundamentally not topher. Even if I button it for longer than a week or longer than a day or however long I button it for, buttoning is not sewing. Why? Because buttons are not made for attaching, they are made for opening and closing. Therefore, the buttons is not within the tzura of sewing. Likewise, you have things with hooks, that's not in the tzura of sewing. Likewise, this is a bit of my chlokes, but exactly, says for Shlomo Zalman there, zippers are not tofer. Oh, they attach things very nicely. They attach things very nicely, but when sewing is something which is generally used to attach things, to make them be attached for a long time, zippers are generally used for things you need to zip on zip every day. Therefore, a zipper is not within the tzura of tofer. The Orach HaShabbos quotes that the Shevet Halevi is machmer in this. Shevet Halevi says you shouldn't zip something for a long time on Shabbos. But the Shmir Shabbos says you can zip something for 100 years. You can zip something and leave it there for 100 years. Zipping is mufka from sewing. So if we ask, what is mufka from sewing, just not a mice of Topher. So, pinning, except Lafitte Carbonisano, is just, that's not, pinning is not sewing. Stapling, maybe Lafitte or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but we wouldn't really be so much on that. Buttoning is Mufka, and zipping is Rove Poskim, as opposed to the Shevet Alevi. If we want to be Machri, the question is like, sometimes you have a lining, could you zip a lining in something? No, you'll put it away in storage for 100 years. So you're not just zipping it permanently. But it's just a zipper. So most posts can say, like Shmir Shabbos and Chassay, it's fine. Zipping is not sewing. Even if it's going to last 100 years, even if it makes a very nice product, even if it's very useful, it's not sewing. It's a non-malach. It's blowing your nose. It's not doing one of the Lamentas malachos. The Shevet Alevi is Machri. He says, you zip permanently, he's choshesh. But most posts can disagree.
Is Machri also for buttoning?
I'm not sure.
Wasn't that the question? Do the holes already made?
What? Well, buttons are a different sewer than sewing through pre-made holes. But I don't know, I have to be eyeing in that. We have to look it up.
Is unzipping also not?
Yeah, it's all mirror image. Meaning, whatever you say about zipping, you say about unzipping.
That would be Korea?
Yeah. I mean, if, not according to Shevet Alevi, unzipping would be Yechshash Korea. Even he admits that regular every day is so temporary that it's mutter. But long-term zipping, he would be Machron. Okay, what else does this... Ah, the Shmir Shabbos Gachasa says that the Rapashit Velcro is mutter. Velcro, what they call in Hebrew scotch. Right? You know what the word for Velcro is in Hebrew? Scotch. He doesn't explain why. He doesn't explain why scotch is mutter. Again, if a kid says, you know, scotching, that doesn't mean he is drinking alcohol. That just means he has Velcro on his shoes. I got no lie and scotch him.
When this came out in America, we all thought about it. That was a Daz Yochet that said it was us and everybody.
Okay, you still are.
We're agree with it, and I gave it up a couple of years ago.
Great. Okay, so Shmir Shabbos Gachasa says, this is in Perek Tesvav, Halacha Pei Zayin, Velcro has no chash. He didn't say why, but Lachor, because Velcro is also, it's a special tzura that's not made for like attaching things for a long time. It's made for constant opening and closing, therefore that's not considered sewing. Even though things do stick together.
And you told Tuvia that you can't put something through two holes to tie it together. Is that if they're not pre-made? I mean, if you have, let's say...
Okay, hold that thought till Siv Zayin. Hold that thought till Siv Zayin. Now, what we didn't mention here, which of course is very important, is what about glue and tape? Right? What about glue and tape? The reason I didn't mention this because it's really the topic of Sifya Dalet. The Rambam is Mechadesh. That, what about glue? Tape. The reason I say tape is because tape is just glue. Right? I mean, tape is not something different than glue. Tape is just the lazy man's glue. Instead of taking two things and smearing glue, it's just paper that comes with glue on it and you put on something, right? But tape and glue is the same thing. So, what?
Maybe a lachet.
No, scientifically.
It's different material. It's very different material.
I mean, there's all kinds of glues. Okay, let me shut that.
Glue dried, okay.
Okay, Lamaisa, glue and tape, it's not 100% clear if that should be called tofer or not. Because on the one hand, it's like tofer in that it's ways that you attach things permanently and you make things, so it's like tofer. On the other hand, it's not the action of tofer. You don't sew in and out. That's true of these Velcro things also. So this is not clear. On the one hand, it is unlike pinning and buttoning and zipping and etc. because it's really a normal way of attaching things. On the other hand, maybe tofer only means sewing, and gluing is definitely not the mice of sewing. So we paskin, says the Rambam, that it is tofer, and that's how we paskin. Is that necessarily mochrach from Shas? It doesn't say anywhere in Shas. But the Rambam says in Sif Yudalit, as we'll see, that if you glue things, that's tofer, and even though we can't prove that he's right, we paskin that he's right.
Even though say Kalim, we're able to find a makor.
Correct. The Rambam just thought it was a svara. I said I can't be sure if he's right. But lemaisa, we paskin that way.
It's tofer doraisa, or?
Tofer doraisa, says the Rambam.
So if you have a tab, that like a stinky tab, like in like your soup, whatever, or your pretzels, putting those things down would be tofer?
So putting these things down would be a shiloh of tofer. Now, why do I say a shiloh of tofer? Because there's an obvious difference between the Rambam's example of taping papers together to make a book or something, and your sticky tab on the pretzels, the obvious difference being that his is permanent, yours is temporary. So you have to get into the shiloh of temporary tofer. But it's a shiloh, meaning it is tofer. Temporary tofer might be mutter.
So we say once is three, is it considered one stitch? Is it considered two stitches? How do you look at glue or tape?
That's an interesting question. The Shabura is a whole arich in the rear halach. What's the shear? Is the shear you glue an amount that would have taken two stitches to stitch? Or is the shear just any amount of glue, because glue is glue? But you really mean to ask a slightly different question, which we'll get to.
Is scotch also according to the Rambam?
No.
What?
Because of the svar against the carbon asadol. Pinning is the same action as sewing, but it's not sewing because it's not something which is done to stick things together permanently. So scotching is the same action as gluing, but you never scotch things together for the long term. Therefore... Aha, so then that becomes a question of, you know, within gluing, can you be correct, okay, so let's come back to it. Good, let me come back to it. Okay, and then I'll...
Gluing has more of a permanent aspect. Velcro is...
Exactly.
Separate. Velcro, and, you're not ripping any... It's
right, Velcro is I mean, it makes things stick together. But you only use it for things that you want to stick and unstick all the time.
You mentioned it again because you raised the question of the pretzels, and that you said it's in the same gather, except that it's temporary, so the scotch is the same thing as the...
No, the reason why the pretzel bags might be more hummer than the scotch is because gluing is the type of action which people do to attach things permanently. Just on the pretzel bags, you're doing it temporarily and it's a weak glue. But it's within it's the tsura of actions that people do for real attachments, just you're doing it in a weak way, as opposed to scotch, which is a different tsura legato.
Right, that's why what you say is very important, because Lamai said that not all glue is the same glue, meaning that glue on that pretzel bag is fundamentally different than the glue mamish or even tape mamish.
Okay.
I think it's made to come up and down and up.
Okay,
and down.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I just want to come back to it. I mean, let's come back to it. Okay. I just want to go through and order some things in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll discuss these things. Okay, Sif Vav. Chut shel tefir shed niftach. If the sewing became loose, also limatcho, you're not allowed to pull the string to tighten it. Mishum tofer. I mean, what's the chiddush here? Even if it's already sewn, if you pull the string and tighten it, that's called tofer. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you're only chayav if you, where the Mishnah Berurah right here, says only if there's at least three stitches or two stitches and you tie it, right? Just like sewing itself. But if you tighten the sewing, that is tofer and that is a chiyuv de'oraisa. Fine. Beis Yosef has another shan and motei chutzal tefira, but it doesn't make it into the poskim. Zion says, however, osam shemahad kem avgadim sov zor sehem al yidei chut shemotchon osom mishadek, those people who tighten their sleeves by a string that you pull, right? Now, we don't really have that on sleeves nowadays. We have probably once they invented easier ways. But you can imagine, you know, it's similar. You know, sometimes, like, what do people have? Like
a drawstring. Hood, so.
A drawstring. It's a draw. You put on a hood, and then you tighten it by pulling the string. So it's not exactly like that. No, that's a bad example. When you tighten the hood with the string, that's not a shash of tofer, because that string is not going in and out of anything, right? I mean, if you a drawstring, the string is just like, there's a like tunnel, ki'ilu, and the string goes through the tunnel. When you pull that string, you're not doing any sewing. This case was different, right? They were less sophisticated. I mean, to make those drawstrings like we have nowadays requires, I don't know if you have to have modern technology, but it's more sophisticated, because what you have to do is you have to like fold over the edge of the hood and sew it, so you made like a tunnel and put the string through the tunnel. That's not a Shashev's Topher. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is a much more primitive thing. A guy had a sleeve, and he took a string. String went in, out, in, out. Like the string of Amish was sewed in and out of the string. So like you saw a string and then it was under, over, under. You know, like sewing. And then you pull the two ends. That's a tzura of sewing. So when you pull those two ends, you're mamish tightening sewing. Not like modern day drawstrings. We don't have this nowadays. Maybe in some fancy dresses, I don't know. But our standard clothing doesn't have strings like this. Our strings go through a tunnel. I don't know, there's probably a better way of saying that. But they don't sew. They don't weave in and out. Like, if this was the fabric of your sleeve, like our modern day is like, here's the clothing, and here's the drawstring in the middle. If you tighten it, there's no Indian of sewing. It's not sewing anything. Their case, they had a sleeve. Some say even there was two layers. And the string went like this. And then when you tighten that string, you're tightening a sewing. So that's the chash, which, again, is not so shkiach nowadays. It could be in some dress, fancy dresses. They might still have something like this. I don't know. But it's not so shkiach in most of our clothing. So what about that case, if you tighten it?
Isn't that the exact same thing as tightening your shoes, where it's going through the holes, you're tightening the tier of your shoes?
It's possible. See, there's a machlokes achronim, whether it was one layer in your sleeve or two layers in your sleeve. Some achronim say it's only discussing because they're two layers, and when you tighten it, you're sewing the two layers together.
So but in your shoes, you're bringing them close?
I guess so. All right. Yesh b'zemashu. You're right. Okay, so it might be like that. Could be. Beseder.
I don't like
the Mechadish Pumra. No, it's going to be Mutter. It's fine. Also, Shahad Ken, I've got in Subzer Seim, like the I just wanted to tell you why there's a Shaila. Like an Armand drawing, there's nothing to talk about. What does that have to do with sewing? You're not sewing anything, you're just pulling a string. So, what does he say? Also, Lamatro, Ella in Cain, you're not allowed to tighten it unless you want to cover Rechavim Tsasim to Kanabit Fira Be'ego. The holes are a little wide and have like, not like on buttonholes, they like even better, tzitzis holes. Right? Hold it. See this hole they put? See they like sewed around it to make it a strong hole? Like, it's not just like a good hole. Right? It's a good, permanent, strong hole. So that's what it means. That's what you mean by sewing around. If you actually look at your tzitzis, you'll see they just sewed around and around that hole to make it a very strong hole. So if it has holes, sometimes nowadays they'll even put metal rings in the holes, right? If it has holes, then it's okay. But if it's just stam going through the beged, that's the chilut. If the string is just stam sewing in and out of the cloth, that's also to tighten. That's tightening sewing. But if it's going through real holes, that's not tightening sewing. That's not real sewing. That's through the holes. So why it's usser if it doesn't have real holes, I understand. If it doesn't have holes, it's just going through the garment, that's real sewing. Why is it mutter if it does have holes? So this is not 100% clear. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah, and the Rishonim is also not clear. If you look at it, you get different impressions from the Urim, from the Shvali Lakith, but let's look in the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Zion. Okay, then it's not like sewing. It's just like putting the hooks into the eyes. Because you have pre-existing holes, it's meant to do it and undo it all the time. It's meant to tighten it when you wear it and to loosen it when you want to take it off. So the Mishnah Berurah at first sounds like he's saying, because this is not called sewing. This is not the kind of thing that you use for like long-term sewing, because when you put something through pre-existing holes, so it's just not called sewing at all. In the end, you get a slightly different impression. What does the Mishnah Berurah end with? He says, however, if you only tighten it partially, sometimes you leave it that way forever. If you only tighten it partially, so you can slip your hand in and out still, right? It's a very wide sleeve. If you tighten it all the way, obviously you have to loosen it to get undressed at night. If you tighten it partially, so that it's tight enough that it doesn't slip off your hand, but if you want to, you get your hand out, and that sometimes lazy people just tighten it partially and then go in and out and leave it that way forever, then he says, oh, sir. So it sounds in the Mishnah Berurah here, like he's saying, it's not that sewing through holes is mufka legamre from tofer. It's just that. If it's something which is obviously temporary, it's mutter. But if you do it in a way that's permanent, then it is usser. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah here says. The Mishnah Berurah says, sewing like through holes is usser if you do it permanently. It's only mutter if you do it if you do it temporarily.
What's the mind here is permanent? Because at some point you're going to wash it, you're going to undo it. I mean, even if you...
No, they never wash their clothes in those days. okay, it's a good question. We'll come back to that.
We also said if the drawstring comes out, you're not able to put it back, because it's not a drawstring. Didn't we say that?
That was a kind that you might tie, that you usually tie, because it's zero to kosher. That was it. What?
Wouldn't in this situation be tofer to put it back?
Which situation?
This situation?
In this situation, would it be tofer to put it back?
Or shoes?
If you're...
Wouldn't the same thing with the shoelace?
What if he's feet close and about shoes in there?
No, I would. Okay. I must admit, maybe you could help me out here. Everyone put on your thinking caps. This is a little confusing. If you look into Rishonim, it seems like there's two ways to understand why it's mutter. Either it's mutter because it's temporary, or it's mutter because putting something through holes is not sewing. Only putting something through the fabric is sewing. And the Mishnah here says at the end that if you tighten it, even with holes, and leave it that way forever, it's usser. He makes it sound like it is sewing to sew through the holes. It's just mutter if it's temporary. But then you get into the question of why is it mutter to replace shoelaces? Because then you're replacing them permanently. And that is a... I've not seen the Achronim adequately address that unless I am missing something.
No, Mishra said that if you don't make it so tight, aim agriyafa, and you leave it loose forever...
No, that means if you tighten it partially so you can still slip your hand in
and out. Right, but then you're leaving it at that level of kesher forever. We don't leave our shoes at that level of kesher forever.
I say it's only permanent if it's at the same level of tightness.
Some people, it's cool.
Just sticking it in is not...
Partially, they're not so tight, they're loose. It's like a cool style. Like, they're partially loose, and you just slip them on and off all the time. But then it becomes that loose...
You should try that.
That loose level is now much more permanent than a tight level. Because tight level, you need to do and undo all the time. The loose level...
Right, that's what he's saying here.
Exactly.
All right, so Yoni's saying that maybe you're allowed to replace your shoelaces because even though you're going to leave them in the holes, you're not going to leave them tight all the time. A normal person. You're right, who's not cool.
Is that enough to, loosening it? Well, we're not talking about tightening.
He's not talking about replacing. He's talking about they're already in there.
Correct. But we know you're allowed to replace your shoelaces and your shoes from Simon Shin Yotzayin. I guess what I'm uncomfortable with in this Mishnah Berurah is that he starts to say, Eino Doma Klal Litofer. It's just like putting the hooks in the eyes. That makes it sound like Shemim Mutter to be done even permanently. It's not Doma Klal Litofer. Then he says, if you're going to leave it for a long time, it's Aser. So it apparently is Doma Litofer. It's just Mutter if you do it temporarily.
Because you made a knot at the end. Because you made it kashur forever.
No, it didn't say anything about a knot. Where did he say anything about a knot? Didn't say anything about a knot.
You're doing something that's nimlach lefam lahanicho kach la'olam. You did some kind of maisa that makes it stay like that forever.
I don't know. You're reading a knot into this. I don't know.
What else could make it kach la'olam? What else is a maisa?
Yosef, you want to help me here? Now you want to. No? Okay, that's better.
We're talking about where you're just tying it. You're not adding. You're not putting the strings there. Right?
Yes.
So
where's my Rosh?
would you say the same thing about putting a string on? Let's say it was never...
I don't know. You see, here's my... Ready? Says the Orcha Shabbos. He says that... I'm sorry. One second. Yeah, that's what the way he understands it is that if it has good holes, then ainu nidun chutfir elikem soich itzoni shalidok. It's not called sewing at all. It's just called some external way of tightening it, like a lock. He really sounds like it's not a tzur tfir at all. But according to this, I don't know why the Mishnah Berurah would be make machmir if you left it there for a long time. He obviously thinks it is a tzur tfir.
That's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says his condition in his words. That's the point of the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore, if you do it in an intermediary stage, we can get it out on that the Mishnah Berurah says problematic. Then it takes it out of the condition that he gave in the first place.
Right. Oh, good. Okay, you know, I'll come back to the shoes a little. I have other thoughts on that. But Lemaisa says the Mishnah Berurah thinks that is right. What he's saying is, if it's the kind of thing which you always do and undo every day, then that's not Tfira. However, if it has, even if it has holes, if you leave it a certain way permanently, then that is Tfira.
I'll give you an example, which is Mut al Chatkilo. There are certain shirts with the cuffs, even if the button is closed, you can get it off and on, it's not a big problem. Other than the fact that it's buttons. But there we have an example
of
what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about.
Okay. Let us go on then to another discussion. We have to still come back to some of that. We haven't fully clarified, especially the idea of temporary... well, maybe this would be a good time to talk about it. Okay.
Also, a coupling could be a similar shaylan. Okay, you put it two tfiras.
No, a coupling is only one. You only put it through once. Never comes back out.
No, but you put it through one side, then it goes through the other.
No,
side.
That's one stitch.
No, it's
two stitches. You put it through one and the other, and then back through the other and the one.
The shirt is bent, so when you put it in one.
It doesn't matter. It's only one stitch of cuffling.
Why is it? If I put my
that's two stitches.
Let's say instead of a cuffling, I had this even under. That would be.
That's one stitch.
Why is that one stitch? It's in this one, out this one, in this one, out this one.
The same thing as
a cuffling is two. Even if it's folded over, first of all, there's two different ways of coupling this.
It doesn't matter. You're only sticking it through once.
No, but
it never curves back out.
The cufflink is like this. The shirt is with regards to...
I don't care how many times you fold it. You only stick it through once.
No, but it's like
I don't care if you have eight layers.
No.
And they're each folded and attached to each other. You only stick the cuffling through once. Here's your cufflink. That's
no,
one stitch.
But if you were to unfold it...
It's right two stitches, because this is really this, so it's going back out. I don't care. You only stick it through once.
If I fold my shirt, I might put the safety pin in through this part over here. That's...
All right. You're right. You disproved me. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Toby disproved me. A cuffling is two stitches, but it's mutter because even the carpet sandal might be molded. A cuffling is for sure
a cuffling, but a cuffling is like
which
a
is even less permanent than a pin. It's like a button.
Yeah, was it two stitches? No,
because even though you stick it through once, but you first fold your shirt and then stick it through once, so it's really going through twice. Hey, the reason I'm trying to disprove it is, let's say I take my shirt. I want to pin my tzitzis to my shirt. So I
even
fold them and stick it through
anything.
Once. I really stuck it through twice. Just I folded it first.
Even if you don't fold anything, even if you just put one next to the other one.
No, that's called one stitch.
Why is it one stitch? It just goes through this one and this one.
No, all sewing has to go through two pieces. Otherwise, how are you sewing anything? If you go through two pieces once, that's one stitch. If you go back through the two pieces, it's two stitches.
There are certain cufflinks that don't bend the shirt.
Then it's one stitch.
It's like this.
Then it's one stitch.
How is it? I mean, you're connecting two pieces of material.
I know! One stitch connects two pieces of material.
No, because if you don't have two stitches,
So then why does folding over make it? I don't understand.
Because if you fold over, it's really, you went two stitches. Because if you unfold it, you'll see that it's two stitches.
No,
But if you take, if you stick a string through this...
Meaning, if you go through each piece once, that's one stitch. If you go through each piece twice, that's two stitches. What Toby said is if you fold in cufflink, you're going through each piece twice, so that's two stitches. Mm-hmm. And he had a point. Okay, Yosef thinks not. Yeah, he's lying. In any case, cufflinks are mutter. Okay, let's talk for a second before we get to Yud Gimel. Before we get to Yud Gimel, let's talk about... should we do before we get to Yud Gimel? You know what? First, let's finish this. Let's finish the Shulchan Aruch. Fine. Let's first finish these four sifim Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud Gimel. What did the Rambam say in Sif Yud Gimel? It's quoting the Rambam. Ein shovim acheres ve'ein korin aniyar. You're not allowed to break a pottery into many pieces that you need, or rip a paper into smaller pieces that you need, and they should come tak and cleek. It's like makabah patish. The whole discussion is makabah patish do reiser do rabbanon. On the one hand, if you need small pieces of paper and you rip a big one into small pieces, maybe that's makabah patish do reiser, you're making the kli you need. Or maybe it's only drabbanon because it's not really a kli, it's just like a smaller version of the piece of paper. Okay, but either way, it's makabah patish. Okay. Though an example of this would be, for example, toilet paper, right? If you tear toilet paper, that would be makabah patish according to this, right? Because you're tearing a piece of paper into a useful object.
Why is that different than ma'adamim?
What?
Why is it different than what we discussed the other day on ma'adamim?
It's clearly different because the ma'adamim, I'll tell you why. The ma'adamim are perfectly useful even if you don't separate them. You can eat the yogurt just as well even if you don't separate it.
Well, we also said there's an opinion that tearing is only if it's on the seams.
Okay, good. We'll come back in a second. Then what's the case here? Okay, you're just saying the ma'adanim are aser. Okay. Okay, so Zev wants to prove from here, what do you mean, you're just breaking into smaller pieces? So he wants to prove from here that breaking apart the yogurts are usher against Rosh Shlomo Zalman.
We shouldn't think that Rosh Shlomo Zalman said it was usher.
Okay.
So that's just...
Okay, what Rosh Shlomo Zalman Okay, what Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say? Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say no. When they make the yogurts, in a very clear, it's an obvious sewer that each yogurt is already made. They're attached, it'll be easier to transport them.
Toilet paper and water, that's exactly the way it was made. It also has this thing that it's all fit to cut it. It's the exact same thing.
Well, could you say there's no serving of toilet paper? You can cut however many squares you want, but with yogurt, each thing is its own individual.
All right, yesh l'ayin, what's the difference between toilet paper and yogurts according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman? Anyone remember where this Rosh Shlomo Zalman was? Or the cheres for that matter, right? Why is this better? What?
Maybe you can find it in the dishes.
Yeah, but you have to figure out where it would be there. Anyway, look, that's a good question. Maybe we won't answer it right now. Let's just see what he says here.
Did you say that toilet paper is
on? Okay, what he says is that, he says what I said. The yogurt is clearly looks like a completed item. Now, what if you say the toilet paper clearly looks like a completed item?
Even the perforation there, you could, a lot of times, it's not as pronounced as the yogurt.
Yeah, to me it seems that the toilet paper looks less like separate items, even though it's perforated, than the yogurts. But okay, yesh
l'ayin. Right, even when you rip it, sometimes you don't always rip it directly on the perforation.
Correct. Anyway, let's see what we said here. Now, what's the mystery here? The chiddush is not that it's makabah patish. Okay. The chiddush is that what might you have thought the Rambam should have said if you tear paper into small pieces because you need small pieces, what might you have thought it was? Okay, you might have thought it was mechatech. The Mishnah Berurah deals with this. However, it's an accepted principle. Mechatech only means if you cut it to a specific measurement. So say the Rambam, he's talking, it's not a specific measurement. You just want a smaller piece, but it didn't have to be an exact measurement. Whatever's not an exact measurement is not mechatech. Meaning mechatech means like cutting on a line to an exact measurement. Right? Over here, you weren't cutting on a line. Mechatech would be, you know, you take a piece of paper, you fold it, right? You do the crease, you like run your fingers over the crease, you fold it back the other way, run your fingers over the crease, and then tear exactly in that crease. That's mechatech. It's the exact lumida. Over here, so at the time you rip the paper, it doesn't matter exactly how big or small, so you get out of mechatech. However, what about Korea? Asked the Mishnah Berurah, and especially in the Bir Halacha. Why isn't this Korea? So this is a big diyun. Why isn't this Korea? So the Bir Halacha deals with it here, and also in Sif Yudalad. Why isn't this Korea? Right?
What are we talking about now?
And ripping a piece of paper.
Ripping pieces
into smaller pieces. So why shouldn't that be Korea? It doesn't seem like Korea you're ripping. What's the lashon? Korin Niyar. Oh, yeah. So it's Korea. So why isn't it Korea? So what's the answer?
One piece.
So this is the famous Shulchan Aruch Rav that we mentioned when it came to the originator. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, Korea doesn't apply to one piece. Korea has to be Korea, two separate things off of each other. Says, for example, if you rip on the seam, that's Korea. If you open the yogurt containers by ripping where it's glued, that's Korea. If you rip a shirt, it's Korea, even not on the seam. Because the shirt was originally, when they wove it, different strings, and you're separating those strings from each other. But if you rip paper, paper is one piece. And therefore, ripping paper where it's glued is Korea. Ripping paper in the middle of a page is not Korea. That's the finish of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if you rip any piece, the clothing is always Korea, because clothing is really separate pieces, because when you wove it, there were separate strands on the loom. But ripping any plastic or paper or leather, not on the seam, is never, according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not on the halacha at all. Ah, but if you make something useful, it's Makom HaPatish, but it's not Korea. That's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Lemaisa, we don't hold like this Shulchan Aruch Rav.
Right.
We don't hold like this Shulchan Aruch Rav, but he has a good explanation. Okay, what's another possible explanation? Right? X, meaning not, it's not a good Svara, but we don't hold like it. The other explanation, of course, what do we say? Remember, Poseach Beisat Savar? We had the same question. I think I mentioned it. Poseach Beisat Savar is high from Makom HaPatish. Why is it in Korea? That's not what we said, but that is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Right? Okay, good. Says the...
Since you're not planning to retire.
The beer... Ah, okay, good. Let's start with what Yeshaya just said. Oh, good. Oh, excellent. Okay, good. This is... Rashi and Tosos, according to Harbe Achronim, not the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't think there's such a shita. But many Achronim think Rashi and Tosfos hold this way. Says, Korea is only chayav if it's almanas lit for. The Malach of Korea Doraisa. I'm not talking about Dorabana. The Malach of Korea Doraisa. Dorabana, you shouldn't tear things. Doraisa is only also to be Korea almanas lit for, like did in the Mishkan. You tie it to re-sew it there. But when you rip a piece of paper to make smaller pieces, not to re-sew it, that's not Korea. If you're Bosef based on Tzavar to wear your shirt to get your head through, that's not Korea because you're not planning to re-sew it. It's only Korea, though, right, sir? If you're going to re-sew it. That is what many Achronim assume that Rashi and Tosfos hold. We definitely don't pass in this way. How do I know? Because in Yudalid, the Rambam says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Hamadavik niyoros oros bekolon shel sofrim kayotzi bo. If you stick together paper or leather with glue, etc., Harizo told us tofer chayy. That's a told of tofer chayy. V'chein amafarg niyoros tevukin or oros tevukim. If you separate, you tear apart papers or leather that are glued. Velonis kavin the kalkul levad, and you weren't just trying to damage; you were trying to improve. Harizo told us korei v'chayiv. It's told of korei and you're chayiv. What does the Rambam say? As long as your intention is constructive, that's good enough. Meaning, the fundamental machlokus. Does korei need to be almanas lit for? The Gemara says in a few places, korei needs to be almanas lit for. What does that mean? So many achronim say in Rashi and Tosfos, korei needs to be almanas lit for. But we don't pass it that way. Why? As opposed to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, who say korea is only chayav if it's or let's say better amanas latakin, if it's latakin, meaning is amanas lit for davka or lav davka? Rashi and Tosfos are understood by some Rishonim to say it's davka. The tsura of korea that asur d'oraisa is only if you're planning to re-sew it or re-glue it or whatever the case may be. And therefore, obviously, if you stomp tear toilet paper or tear this paper or whatever, that's not a chash of korea d'oraisa. Maybe d'rabban, not a chash of korea d'oraisa, because you're not going to re-glue it or re-sew it or restaple it or whatever. However, the Rambam doesn't know the way. The Rambam clearly says that lav davka amanas lit for. What it just means is you're only chayim korea if it's a tikkun, if it's a kilkul. We're not the kalkul, it's pater on Shabbos. If you stop tear things to ruin them, you're pater. You're only chayim if you tear things to improve them. The common way to improve things is you tear them to re-sew them. But there are other ways to improve them. And that's why the Rambam says posei pesat savor is chayim for korea. If you tear open the neck on a shirt, then since you improved that it's korea, even though you're obviously not amanas lit for, you want to wear your shirt. You don't want to re-sew it. So we paskin against, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even think any Rishonim hold this way, but we paskin against these, Rashi and Tosfos, according to many Rishonim, we paskin that korea is chayiv as long as it's for a constructive purpose, even if you're not going to re-sew it. Why is the Mishnah Berurah so convinced that there can't be any sheet of almanas lit for davka? That's basically the machlokus. The machlokus is whether almanas lit for is davka or lav davka. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say lav davka just means tikkun, just means constructive. One example of constructive is you're tearing it and you're going to re-sew it straighter. Another example of constructive is whatever else might be constructive. Rashi and Tosfos might hold, no, it's davka. Davka almanas lit for, why? Because that's the tzura. The tzura of korea is almanas lit for. Okay, we paskin like the Rambam Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah is sure that's true, and he seems to have a decent raya. The Gemara has a sugya in Daf Kofei. Korea, what's a Daf Kofei? On the base? Korea b'chamoso v'almeso is sometimes chayav. It depends on the circumstances, but at least if someone tears in anger, or because of avilus for a mace, or because of kriya for a mace, then they're chayav. That is constructive. Okay, why is that constructive? The Gemara works out how it's constructive. Really, you're not tearing to like ruin your midos in anger, you're tearing to get your kids to behave, whatever the case may be. Really, you're not tearing just because you're very sad that someone died, you're tearing in order to be chayav a mitzvah. Okay, so you're not trying to re-sew it. So the simple pshat is that the Mishnah Berurah has a good raya against this pshat. That's why he doesn't even give it credence, even though other achronim do. He thinks that obviously any constructive purpose is korea d'oraisa. Okay, how do you get out of it? I think I saw the Stipler once many decades ago that he says, it could be that the case of korea b'chamas al mesa was also going to re-sew it. Okay, yesh lain. It's not so pashut.
We are out loud.
Depends what a veil is. There's something not allowed.
Correct. Then you have to say it's not apparent.
So the reason that we're not here for kavod b'riyot tearing toilet paper is because it's with the shinui and they're not, and so it brings it down to the rabbanan and they're not.
Right. Okay.
Now,
we
so,
are allowed to open up the neck hole. If it's not
the what?
Time. The neck hole, we are allowed to do that, we said.
Not if it's...
First time.
No, not if it's tied by... Not if it's closed by the professional very tight. So it's okay, like the first time. Okay, so what other possibilities do we bring up here? Sohan Uncle Rav, we don't hold like. This shot that maybe we're showing them hold, maybe they don't, that it's very difficult in Kofayim and Bays, we don't hold like. So what does the Mishnah Berurah suggest? So... The other thing the Mishnah Berurah suggests is in the Bir Halacha, he says maybe it's only Korea if you need both sides equally. But if you only need one half and not the other half, that's not Korea. And when you tear the paper, it doesn't mean you need two small pieces of paper. It means you need one small piece of paper. So you tear off one small piece of paper, but you don't need the big half piece of paper. So this would be, so that's what he says. He says it's only chayav for Korea if you need both halves. This case, you only need, here's your big piece and here's your small piece. You only need the small piece, not the big piece. Like, you have a big piece of paper, you need a small piece. So you tear up a small piece, and you don't want the rest of the big piece. That's not Korea Midoraisa, because you only want one half, and Korea means you're focusing on both halves. However, it's Makabe Patish. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah speculates. That's what he speculates for the Rambam. For Rashi, he speculates something else. He says, you're only chayev for Korea if the improvement is indirect. This is funny. It's counterintuitive. When you chayev for Korea, if you tear something to re-sew it better, then like when you re-sew it, it'll be better. But right now it's not better. Or if you tear something to scare your kids into listening. Directly, you're not improving the thing, just you're getting your kids to listen. Like the tzur of Korea is you have to like make it worse in order to make something better. But if you make it better immediately, like Posech Beis Hatzaver, where you immediately improve it, or tearing the piece of paper into the size you need, which immediately improves it, an immediate direct improvement is not Korea. It's a little funny. It's also saying Korea has to be in Tzichel Gufo almost. That's the chiddush, that big chiddush it says for Rashi. I think it's smoother to say for Rashi than you need Amanas Lish for. And then I still do have to deal with Daf Kafei. Anyway, not if there's an immediate improvement to the Chefza. If there's an immediate improvement on what you tear, that's not called Korea. That's called Makabe Patish. He's not saying it's putter. Not only is it not mutter, it's not even putter, it's called Makabe Patish. Korea has to be, you're not fixing it. You're just indirectly getting something good by tearing it. When you fix it, that's not Korea, it's Makabe Patish. Okay, those are the theories of the Mishnah Berurah. This
fits into the Lashon of the Mishnah. Korea.
Right, correct. Now, maybe we'll have to end with, we're not going to finish everything we want to discuss today. I see we still have a lot more to discuss.
Did get extra time on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll just mention one thing. It's a big discussion. I'll just summarize it. Question of opening letters on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah is a big discussion of opening letters on Shabbos. Now, of course, there's two different kinds of letters. That's a very important chiluk, the Mishnah Berurah points out. The old-fashioned kind and our kind. The old-fashioned kind of opening letters on Shabbos was like...
The wax seal or something?
No, they don't have them so much nowadays. Where the letter, it was glued to itself.
Right.
Like in my days, you used to have aerograms.
Aerograms.
Yeah, right. You guys never saw an aerogram.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. They don't have aerograms on the internet.
They have these engravers like peel off the sides to open the letter.
That you get in Israel now from companies. Yeah. Correct. Good. You're right. Right, when you get a lot of bills, they don't come in envelopes. It's just folded and glued to itself, and you have to tear off the sides. Right? Good. So we do still have that nowadays. In my days, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, it costs a lot of money to send a letter in an envelope home if you wanted. That's a lot of weight on the airplane. The airplanes are expensive. So if you wanted to save money, you would send home an aerogram instead of a letter in an envelope. An aerogram was, it was a piece of paper that you wrote on one side, then you folded it on the folds and stuck the gummy labels, and it turned into its own envelope.
It was very light.
And it was very light, and it didn't have an envelope, so it cost half as much. Yeah, okay. So that's what I used to send home when I was Shana Aleph. You might wonder, how did I get that thing after folding it and sealing it properly? How did I get it into my phone to send it home over the Wi-Fi? That's a Tzarech Iyun.
Well, the holes were bigger than the Acker Road, so you'd stay in
the
Acker Road.
So but that's what we used to do in my days.
When the aerogram came, there were two questions. First of all, you'd see how many chutz latrum, and second one about opening.
Right, so now we'll deal with opening it on Shabbos. So, can you open that on Shabbos? So, obviously you can't open that on Shabbos. That is a chash of Korea, at the very least. That is a chash of Korea. So, the machlokus is it a Isser Doraisa or not? So the Mishabur quotes the Brichadish and Sefer Zechrono say, this is the Mishabur Sivkot and something. Mem. Brichadish and Sefer Zechrono say it's an Isser Doraisa. Why? It's not Amanas lit for, that's clear, but we pass like the Rambam, that even if it's not Amanas lit for your Chayiv, that's if you Dalid, it's you're tearing it and making a big tikkun. It's a big tikkun, now you can read the aerogram. So that is a clear Isser Doraisa.
The question was, they used to open it up on top of the rain from the heat. The heat used to just make the glue detach.
Ah, so the Mamdei Poskim...
That's the way they did it.
Okay, the Mamdei Poskim say that's still called Korea. Dissolving glue is still Korea. However, he quotes the Chacham Sin Nishmas Adam, who say it's only Drabanan, because it's really a Makalkel. The Etzem Kriya doesn't help you. You just want to read what's inside. So they say the Etzem Kriya that you tear it is not better. It's just that you want to read what's in, you want to get to what's inside. So it's like the Tikkun of the Inu Tzricha L'Gufa. However, says Mishabura, the Chacham Tzvi is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush to say this is Potter. Simple pshat is you have one object, the same object you're tearing is now much more useful. So the simple pshat is that the aerogram is an Isser D'Oraisa, and that is how the Mishabura paskins, that the aerogram is an Isser D'Oraisa. Because it's... Meaning, how can you say, like, oh, it's not Tzricha L'Gufa, I just want to tear it to get to read what's inside. What do you mean? You're tearing the piece that has the writing on it. So that's the simple pshat. However, he says at the end... sorry.
What we used to do is if we solved the problem of Truman, you were able to open up the flaps and read it by putting it like a round thing. That was the way it was done.
Round thing?
That opening, if you open up the flaps, so then you had a thing that you could read.
But how do you open the flaps?
No, because the flaps weren't necessary.
Oh, they were tucked. Okay, say they're fine. Okay, Lemaisa says the Mishnah here. Where is he? Oh, in the Bir Halacha. Sorry, in the Bir Halacha, he quotes all the different Achronim. He quotes the Pri Chadash, who says Chayv D'Oraisa. He quotes the Sefer Zechronim Chayv D'Oraisa. The Chacham Tzvi says it's not so clear, but he thinks the Lachshim Tzvi L'Gufa, because you're not really improving the paper. You're just able to now read what's inside. That's a chiddush. You are improving the paper. The paper itself is now readable. However, says the Mishnah in the end, if you're really, really stuck in a big Shas of Chak, you could be so like the Chacham Tzvi that it's only Drabanan, and it's the guy to open it for you, if you're really stuck. But simple pshat, you should treat it as an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay, what he says a little later is that that's all talking about the old-fashioned aerograms, or the things you get from the companies in Israel nowadays that are tied to them, glued to themselves. How about envelopes, letters in envelopes? A letter in an envelope, for sure you can't say that's Korea D'Oraisa, not for sure, but for almost sure it can't be Korea D'Oraisa. Because you're ripping the envelope totally to destroy it and throw it out. And then you're taking the letter from inside. So, he says, unless you have a weird combination of shitas, that it's a lakshmi tzrich l'gufa chayiv, and this is considered metakeh and not mekalkel, simple pshat is this is ein tzrich l'gufa mekalkel. The envelope you're totally destroying and you don't want the envelope at all. You just want what's inside.
And how you open it.
No, a normal case. A normal guy nowadays.
In Israel, most people save the envelopes.
They keep using Yossi Rakowski. He keeps using every envelope he gets to send you, he sends you the same thing today, not 20 years ago, today.
But he's a dinosaur. That's not Makobel nowadays. Even among the Haredim, that's not Makobel nowadays.
Use envelopes to write phone numbers.
What?
Use envelopes to write phone numbers. If you speak to a rabbi and he wants to write that phone, he takes out, he has like all these invitations for weddings, and he writes down the phone
number. Yeah, but tearing the envelope doesn't help you write phone numbers on it. Right?
That doesn't help. I'm just saying he keeps it.
Same. Okay, fine. Yeah, anyway, Lamaisa, most people, the envelopes are garbage. It's a good, the Chazanish is going back to you. Most people, the envelopes are garbage. And therefore, I'm not talking someone who wants a useful envelope. That's a different story.
There's a reason for it, because what you're saying is problematic. The mitzvahs, because usually don't want to rip what's inside. So therefore, when they're opening it, they're opening it carefully. Even today.
But you're opening it carefully to rip it and throw it in the garbage. You just want to protect what's inside.
No, what I'm saying is that the envelope that you throw out, that usually don't rip the foil, the envelope, because that's... You're worried about what's inside.
Of course, rip the envelope. No, you rip it carefully.
No, you're opening the glue. That's all you're doing.
Okay. Lemaisa. Okay, look, yesh l'ayin. Meaning, if you open it carefully enough, maybe that's a problem. But the way I do it, I'm not so careful. I'm a barbarian.
I mean, it's not, in Israel, you don't get mailman shops anywhere. I mean, it's
you could have gotten it Friday.
Well, oh, so Friday, just forgot to open it.
Yeah. Anyway, Lemaisa. Lemaisa, in the normal way that people nowadays open envelopes, that's not a shash d'oraisa. The Bir Halacha goes through how you can, if you want that weird shitas, make it into d'oraisa. Like if you held A, that like the Rambam, Lachshin Shabbalu is high, and B, like Rashi against the Rambam, that Sosa, Amanas Livno, Shalom, Komo is considered tikkun. But that's a weird combination of shitas. Lemaisa, according to no Rishon or Yuchayev, that's only Nisad Rabbanan to open a regular envelope, because that tearing is Bederech Mikalkel. And therefore, it's for mice. You still can't open the envelope because you're still even Korea Derech Mikalkel is Osir. However, that's clearly Drabana, and therefore, clearly, you can have a guy do it b'makom mitzvah or etc. Because then it would be a shvus to shvus. However, lemaisa, we still wouldn't actually open the envelope because it would be Drabana. Okay, there's an obvious question on why it should be Osir to open the envelope at all on Shabbos, which I'm waiting for someone to ask. Until they ask it, I think we'll have to stop now because it's late and because I have to go someplace. thank God for Marcus Katz. Otherwise, I would go till 6. Lemaisa, we'll have to continue. Let me just take, even though I'm normally against democracy, let me take a quick vote. We have to have one more shear before we then chazer for the Bechina. So do you want to stick the shear in on Thursday?